Good morning to everyone! Howdy! Well, today is Monday of the fifth week in Lent, and we are fast approaching Holy Week. In fact, the next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, opening Holy Week for us. You know, I've been reading some posts in Instagram and in TikTok announcing the baptism and or reception into the Catholic Church of hundreds of Catholics in different parts of the world. That includes the United States, Korea, I think also in China. The grace of God is working. As we said yesterday, when the seed dies, there is a new plant that is produced. With the death of Christ, so many fruits have come to us throughout these centuries. And there will be more fruit. But we have to contribute to this. As we learned also, obedience is necessary, crucial for our salvation. And we need to help others also to understand that we need to obey as Jesus did. Today we read in the first reading taken from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament a different presentation by the church. She wants us to witness and contemplate this case of Susanna, a case of injustice, a case of cheating and lying, even under oath, a criminal offense, and the pitiful situation of Susanna, who was unjustly accused and condemned to death. And then God coming to the rescue. So we should observe that in Scripture we have people who are saved from torture or from certain death because of an unjust case slapped on them. Or there are also cases that God does not sort of help them. He permits them to be killed and even tortured. I remember just now the seven sons of this mother who were demanded by the king to defy God's commandment and eat pork. All the seven sons were mangled and tortured, but nobody agreed to take pork and to defile themselves by disobeying the commandment of God. And last of all, the mother was killed. You know, God did not stop their killing. And this doesn't mean that he does not exist. It's just in his providence, for whatever reason he finds worthwhile, just that's how he proceeds. Some he saves, some he does not save. He always saves everybody, but in the different sense, in a different way. Those who died for God's glory and to defend his name, well, God has saved them. For sure, they will go to heaven. Maybe they did not have some enjoyment here on earth, but who cares? We have everything in heaven. So let's read about Susanna and the elders. This is interesting because it's the elders who are supposed to be wise and fair and just. Well, because of their age and their exposure perhaps to evil, they succumb to this temptation. Susanna was condemned to death. She cried out as loud as she could, "Eternal God, you know all secrets and everything before it happens. You know that they have given false evidence against me. And now have I to die, innocent as I am of everything their malice has invented against me?" So the case is that Susanna was a rich lady, married a rich man. They had this wonderful palace, mansion, and she would bathe every day along the river adjacent to the house. I mean, they had that shore, a bank of this river. She was accompanied by her maids, and there were these two elders who lusted after her in wanting to trap her and force her to fall into their hands. So one time she was going to bathe, and she asked her maids to fetch some oil or soap or whatever, and she was alone for a while, and these two men went to her and threatened her, proposing to her to lie down with them. Because if she refused, they would accuse her of having a tryst with a young man, and they found them in that situation, and they would report her and have her tried for death. I mean, for that crime deserving of death. So, and then we have this opening of the reading where Susanna laments, Susanna complains, Susanna is praying, and she is being unjustly accused. So the Lord heard her cry, and as she was being led away to die, he roused the Holy Spirit residing in a young man named Daniel, who began to shout, "I am innocent of this woman's death." So the sentence was already given by the judges, and now there was this Daniel who screamed or shouted that he had wanted to have nothing to do with the killing of Susanna. At which all the people turned to him and asked, "What do you mean by these words?" Standing in the middle of the crowd, he replied, "Are you so stupid, sons of Israel, as to condemn a daughter of Israel unheard and without troubling to find out the truth? Go back to the scene of the trial. These men have given false evidence against her." It's true. They did not ask enough questions of these two accusers, trusting in their age and wisdom. And so Daniel demanded that they have a retrial. All the people hurried back, and the elders said to Daniel, "Come and sit with us and tell us what you mean, since God has given you the gifts that elders have." And Daniel said, "Keep the men well apart from each other, for I want to question them." This was his tactic: separate the two witnesses, supposed witnesses to the crime of Susanna, and specifically to adultery. And all the people heard about it. Okay, and the continuation goes, "When the men had been separated, Daniel had one of them brought to him. 'You have grown old in wickedness,' he said, 'and now the sins of your earlier days have overtaken you. You, with your unjust judgments, your condemnation of the innocent, your acquittal of guilty men, when the Lord has said you must not put the innocent and the just to death. Now then, since you saw her so clearly, tell me what tree you saw them lying under.' He replied, 'Under a mastic tree.'" Wow, he was immediate in replying, feigning, sureness and certainty, absolute certainty of what he had witnessed, when actually he had witnessed nothing. And Daniel said, "True enough, your lie recoils on your own head. The angel of God has already received your sentence from him and will slash you in half." He dismissed the man, ordered the other to be brought, and said to him, "Spawn of Canaan, not of Judah, beauty has seduced you. Lust has led your heart astray. This is how you have been behaving with the daughters of Israel, and they were too frightened to resist. But here is a daughter of Judah," referring to Susanna, "who could not stomach your wickedness. Now then, tell me what tree you surprised them under." He replied, "Under a hom oak." Daniel said, "True enough, your lie recoils on your own head. The angel of God is waiting with a sword to drive home and split you and destroy the pair of you." obvious lie that they purported. Then the whole assembly shouted, blessing God, the Savior of those who trust in Him. And they turned on the two elders whom Daniel had convicted of false evidence out of their own mouths. As prescribed in the law of Moses, they sentenced them to the same punishment as they had intended to inflict on their neighbor, on their innocent neighbor. They put them to death. The life of an innocent woman was spared that day. Well, this was a case of injustice, and God came to the rescue. But with Jesus, they tried him with false evidence. They had done a sloppy job of investigating the case, and they succeeded to put him to death. God did not come to save him. Well, God respects our freedom, and even when we use our freedom badly, when we commit sin. So the will of the people was that Jesus would die because of his blasphemy of claiming to be divine. But this fell very much within the plans of God, because to save man, Jesus would have to die. So the plan of the people, an unjust ruling, and the Herod, or rather Pilate, playing also joining in the condemnation of Jesus, a weak man indeed, but he let it happen. And it coincides with the will of God. They freely killed him, and Jesus also freely obeyed his Father. From evil, God got good. And this is how powerful he is. Evil does not have the last word, because Jesus resurrects and Jesus saves us so that we could go to heaven. Thanks be to God. Thank you for listening, and may the blessing of Almighty God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain forever. Amen. Ciao!